to a happy uncommon podcast.
The other side of the other one.
If you saw our previous one about enduring the hard days, we're flipping the script. It's thriving in the good days. Mm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, what do you do when life is good? Mm. Boy, it's like, oh man, I could do after the cross came the resurrection. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my goodness, what a joyful time, obviously. Right. After sorrow came joy. Easter reminds us that God doesn't just meet us in the valley. He also blesses us on the mountaintop. But how do we live in the good days matters just as much how we endure the hard ones.
Yes.
Because when everything is just, man, mm. I love it. I'll take a year of days just like this. Money's just rolling in. I can't count them. The rubber bands keep snapping, right? You don't rely upon God. You yes. tend to forget that you need God every day mm-hmm. because you're so used to relying on God in the hard days. When the good days, quote unquote, and the good days happen, mm-hmm. you're like, well, what would I pray about? Everything's awesome. That's exactly when you should be praying.
Yeah, I think the danger too, because I've seen this happen to many people, the idea of like when good days happen, there's this, whether subconsciously or consciously, this idea of like, well, this is a good day. That's me. That's me because I'm putting in the work at work. I'm making the money. I'm making the healthy choices or, we're doing X, Y, Z. And it's such a dangerous slope of like, if you attribute the good days to yourself,
right,
it becomes this like built on sand, right? This sure. idea is like, if you do not give God the glory on the good days, you are not going to have a strong foundation for, I know we said a good podcast, but the bad days will come again.
Correct.
Kind of like a bad sequel to a movie. You know, it's always it's always going to come.
Like Sharknado 7?
There's only six.
Oh, six. Huh?
I watched...
Yet.
Yeah. Well, supposedly the last one involved time travel. I watched a documentary about it. Don't ask me why. Oh my goodness. Okay. But there was time travel.
I was just teasing. There's six.
There's okay. six.
Gotcha. Well, I think we have an opportunity here to not waste a blessing, right? Yeah. Success in all forms, whether you're bending time to get 3 days in one or you're just having a great, you know, like a vacation or something like that, success can make you forget.
Yeah.
Right. And when life was full and going well, it's easy to forget who made that possible.
Right.
People tend to want to blame God in the bad days and not thank God for the good days.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's a, you know, was it George Costanza on Seinfeld said something about God, and Jerry's like, I thought you didn't believe in God. He says, I do for the bad stuff.
Of course.
So Israel forgot God after they entered the promised land. And right now, our church is going through Exodus. We just did this. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the beginning of, like, I think it's chapter 6, Joshua passes away. Mm. And all of a sudden, everybody was looking to Joshua, following a person, right? Not keeping their eyes on God, and it just started to collapse. Mm. And because the same people were like, you know, man, Egypt was so awesome back there kind of thing. Some of that was still there. They were then exposed to things like other idols and that kind of stuff in that land. And so they forgot God and wound up, I mean, the chaos, right? They were begging for a king and a judge and all that thing because they were like, we are horrible on our own, you know? And so that's at Deuteronomy 8:10-14, in case you want to read about that. But, you know, we pray hard in pain, but sometimes we stop praying during the good times. Mm-hmm. And I would hate to think that, man, life is just so good. You know what? I forgot. I haven't read my Bible in like a week. Mm. Goodness kind of thing. There should be always a reason to communicate with the Father.
Yeah.
Good, bad, or in between.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you are on the mountain. And we even have a podcast or even a, I think a devotion called Middle of the Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
It's where we spend most of our time.
Yeah.
There are days you get to the mountaintops, everything's going great.
Mm-hmm.
There are days you spend in the valley, yeah. not so great. But most of our life is in the middle of the mountain, somewhere yeah. in between that. We should be praying that whole time.
Yeah. I mean, I always like the fact that whenever our Bible study meets and we ask for prayer, it's always any prayer or praise report.
Sure.
It is always the idea of like, yes, there's always something to be praying for, health, financial, emotional, whatever. But just as much as the Lord wants to hear our burdens, he wants to hear our praise and right. give glory back to him. Because too much of either side of that is not a good idea. Only focusing on the bad is terrible. It's not a fun way to live life. And if you're only focused on the positive, if something earth-shattering happens to you, you're going to be lost.
I won't name names because, you know, if I even got close to it, you people would know exactly what I'm talking about. But there was a church, and I asked one of the pastors, I said, why doesn't the pastor ever talk about sin? And he said, well, we like to talk about things we're for but not against.
Mm.
Like, that's just not biblical.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. You are caught in your sin, my man.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't think blessing is the end goal.
Yeah.
Right? God's gifts are meant to be tools, not trophies.
Yeah.
It's like if you, I don't know, learned French and then never spoke it. It's like, you know French? Yeah. Fluent. Say something. I don't want it. No.
No, I'm good.
I'm good, yeah. I don't want to say that. But I got it. I got it.
I got this badge on Duolingo. You see that right there?
Exactly. I mean, your job, your family, your resources, those aren't just for you. Those are meant to be used to bless yourself, your family, and other people too.
Right. I mean, practical thing of the idea of like you get a raise at work. Is your first thought, oh man, look how many vacations I can go on, or oh, I get to increase my tithing now.
Right.
You know, that's a practical example of like in a good moment, we still need to give back to God and use that to glorify his kingdom and further his kingdom.
Exactly. Exactly. We can ask, how can I use this season to serve others?
Mm.
I mean, there's times when, you know, you're like, man, every need I have is met.
Mm.
Then turn that focus outward, man. Go look around, because that person on the corner begging for food, or someone in your family or at work, they're going through something.
Yeah.
They may have just finished up there. Season of blessing, but now it's not that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a tendency to like really like, you know, sleep on that kind of stuff. And man, when I retire with $3 million, I don't know what sports car to drive. It's a conundrum, really. So complacency is a real threat. The danger of ease is drifting, right?
Yeah.
And I watched my father-in-law. I mean, he had a somewhat labor-intensive job.
Mm.
So when he retired, his retirement was just like, I just don't want to work anymore.
Mm.
So there was no like goals. So he would sit in front of a computer or at a table and play 5 hours of solitaire. I'd see him on a computer. He put away his cards of playing solitaire, and then go get on the computer and play digital solitaire for another couple hours.
My hands get tired.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Let the computer work. I'm tired. But he would fall asleep in that chair, just like slunched over, you know, just in the middle of a game. You know, got to move that floor, right? And I would ask him, "Is there anything that, you know, else you want to do in your retirement? You know, like start a new hobby or go someplace or whatever?" No, not really.
Mm.
So you can see that complacency, boy, it's subtle, man.
Yeah.
You think, well, yeah, I've worked hard. I want to take it easy. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure playing 8 hours of solitaire a day is what you were working for.
Right.
He was content with it, I guess, but that's not for everybody, obviously. Right. I mean, remove solitaire, put puzzles. Mm-hmm. Many people have different things, but you can see that when we become complacent, no purpose, no goals, we drift. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like we just kind of float along.
Yeah.
And you float just for a little bit. You can see. You get out in water, and you just float against the current with the current. You stand up after, like, say, 5 minutes, you realize, goodness, I'm 3 miles where I was. Mm-hmm. So complacency is real. No significant fall starts suddenly. It begins with a little bit of a compromise. Mm-hmm. And which is odd. I'm not quite sure I believe that statement because, you know, there are things that happen suddenly. Mm-hmm. But I think what we're talking about here is slowly drifting away from the need of God.
Right. Well, because like for some, because we rely on God in the hard times and we get to the good times and go, okay, I don't need you, Lord. I'm going to put you back in my little box, shelve you away, and then I'll
see you during tax season.
I'll pull out the Hawaii box and look at that for a little bit kind of thing. That I can see being an idea of like, it's the small drifting away of compromise of, well, you know, I was really diligent about my prayer time when I was going through that financial crisis of losing my job. But, you know, now that I have a job, you know what? I'm just going to sleep in the extra 5 minutes or, you know, I need the time to go make myself a cup of coffee to go to the job kind of thing.
After 9/11, churches were full capacity. 6 months after that, it dropped 30%, and it went back to normal by the end of the year. We know exactly what we're doing when it comes to needing God. Mm-hmm. We just choose to do it from a selfish perspective of, I'm in trouble, I need something, help me.
Yeah.
Well, that, now I don't because I'm good now. So I'll see you back when I need something.
I mean,
what kind of relationship is that?
It's tech support. How often you call on tech support when you don't need problems fixed, huh?
This is God. You might try turning it off and on again.
Right. I mean, it's the genie in the bottle problem, just different skin. I mean, I only reach out to God when I have a problem, and that causes my faith to be weak when I have good times. Because it's almost like the reflection of a prosperity-only gospel, of the idea of like, well, when everything's great, I love the Lord. And when things are bad, well, why is this happening? I was told everything's going to be great. It's the opposite of that, of like my faith is stronger when I'm going through hardships because I have to rely on God because I can't rely on myself for this. But as soon as good things happen, I don't know what to do. I can't rely on God, and I don't want to. Or the good thing, I'm trying to focus on that. It's really interesting to see how that dichotomy is like, it's the exact opposite frame. And at the end of the day, it's both those things at the same time of praying to God when it's a hard time and still praying to Him when things are good.
Yeah, because I mean, we all have you should have a prayer list going. Mm-hmm. And even if you are having a great day or season of health or whatever, you know someone's going through something.
Yes.
And so, and in keeping your spiritual edge sharp, even when nothing else feels urgent, you made a good point about in the last segment of going to war. I'm sure at some point before they had boot camp, it went a little something like, okay, Johnny, take this spear. Now run over there and fight that guy. And as soon as Johnny was stabbed to death, the person passing out weapons is like, you know what? Maybe we should train on this weapon before we send Billy over there. So
let's, Johnny 2.0.
Yeah, let's train a little bit. And so, you know, we should be working our faith and working on our sanctification and maturing good times and bad.
Yeah.
And because when you do it during the good times, the bad time you, it's going to thank you for it.
Yeah.
And so.
Because it's easier to train when the threat of war is not active, right? I mean,
sure.
Think about this, like, you can either choose a train back at boot camp or on the battlefield. It's a lot easier to train at boot camp and be prepared for war than being like, all right, now tell me what a gun is and explain the process while I'm aiming the thing, you know?
Right, right. Well, our focus verse here is Deuteronomy, going old school today, Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 11.
And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today.
You know, our favorite punching bag, the Israelites, you know, that, you know, like, Lord, we want food. We're so hungry. And he sends manna or doves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by, like, I don't know, second, third day to, like, manna and doves again?
Leftovers again?
I can't stand this anymore.
Where's my Hot Pocket at?
And that's us. I mean, I'm not going to be fake and say, oh, I would totally eat manna and doves every day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the story is showing that they had a visible presence of God.
Yeah.
So if you can't do that, then when could you do it, right?
Right. You have all this opportunity, the Lord speaking to you through Moses and having physical manifestations of him as the cloud and the fire, the tabernacle. He dwelt among you.
Yeah.
He's actively providing for you. Like, I mean, I don't know about you, but if the Lord came down and started passing out doves and manna now, it'd be pretty interesting to see how that turns out, right?
Is this gluten-free?
I mean, the Israelites are always interesting because I view the Israelites a lot through this lens of how the Lord looks through us to a certain extent of like, we can look at the Israelites like, you dum-dums, what do you mean you want to go back to the Egypt and get whipped? Well, the food was better. And that's how the Lord looks at us like, Joshua, why are you running back to that coping mechanism, that person, that thing, when you know what's bad for you? You know what I have in store for you is better by, like, magnitudes, and you keep running back to this thing over here. It's the exact same scenario. So I always joke about the punching bag of Israelites, but we are the Israelites.
Sure. I mean, in my head, I always think of, like, you know, God and Jesus and the angels and saints and stuff like that. Go in this room and there's a big screen of my life on the screen doing the same goofy things I always do. And they're all like, you know, don't do that. Talking to the screen. Don't do that. Oh, come on. And you're throwing popcorn around. And you're just like, oh my goodness, this guy. Yeah. So Israelites, yeah, you get a break today. Don't worry about it. So the reflection question is your current comfort drawing you closer to God? Or slowly pulling you away? And some people, this is why God does not answer questions or answer prayers like, Lord, I really could use a nicer house or a better car. It's like, if I gave you that, you would stop depending on me.
Right. I mean, that goes for so much, whether it's physical items, or maybe it's significant other, of like, you know, the whole thing of like timing, right? Like, the Lord may not be, you may not be ready for those things.
Yes.
The Lord's molding you through this season, whether it's a good or bad season, molding you for those things. And if you take the Israelites' path around the mountain to get right back to where you started, it's going to be longer for you.
Hopefully someone's not throwing popcorn at your movie. Yes. All right, guys, sit tight, listen to some Uncommon sponsors, and we'll come back for segment two. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Studio 490 Digital Marketing. Elevate your business with Studio 490. Our expert team offers tailored web design, SEO, Google Ads, and social media management. Visit studio490.com because your success story starts today.
Welcome back, guys. We are doing section two of our How to Handle the Good Times.
Thriving in the good days.
So we touched on this topic a little bit in the first part. We're going to get a little bit deeper into it and what that looks like as practical aspects. But we talked about the idea of good days should be training days, and that you use strength to build strength. And so just like soldiers train during peace times and build up their strength, we should be doing the exact same thing when pressure is low and the time is good to strengthen our walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
And how we can do that and better set ourselves up for progress when the bad times come back.
Oh, yeah. You know, in business, right? I just had this conversation with someone today, like, oh, you know, things were going so well. I didn't do any marketing. And then all of a sudden, things kind of it dried up. I got nothing in the pipeline, and now I got to market.
Yeah.
And the worst place to be is when you have to market yourself, because it's not like a light switch. Oh, okay, hold on a second. Boop, there's the business.
There's money.
Right. So sometimes these things take a while to get going. And right now we are very, very busy. Mm-hmm. And we could pull back, but I'm going to hit the NOS, and I'm going to put a cinder block on the gas pedal. And then I'm going to drive this into the sun. I'm just going to just drive it until it just bursts into flames, because I just know that as soon as you let up, and I've heard a pastor say, if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yeah.
If you're not maturing, you're backsliding.
Yeah.
And that's a very, you know, black and white approach. But, you know, having a good day, build on that good day.
Yeah.
I mean, get in the Word, revel in it. Extend your prayer time. Tell someone you love them. Whatever it is, but build on that good day.
Yeah, because we're not called to coast. We are never called to coast. We are always called to strive to be better.
Yeah.
And I think we live in a culture. I mean, my perfect example of this is side gigs. I mean, how many times have you been on TikTok and you see some video of, well, this thing I've set up, and I have 17 of them, and I make $1 billion a day. And I'm like, okay, so.
The TikTok millionaire?
Yeah, the TikTok millionaire. And so we live in this society of the idea of, like, I just want to coast. I want to make enough money to feed my hobbies and my vacations.
Passive income.
All this kind of stuff. I don't want to have to work for it. I don't want to keep building on it. And right. We are not called to do that. Because when we get to the point where we're just like, eh, I'm good, that's when you should be the most scared.
Paul could have wrote letters to all the churches from one location, but he traveled and got beat and threatened, shipwrecked, bit by a snake, beaten some more. I mean, just constant. Mm-hmm. I would have probably wrote letters just so you can't beat me up again. You should, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, it's hard for people to, I think be consistent, because we get like, I've reached my goal. Great.
Yeah.
I lost all that weight and I gained it back 3 months later, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's a human nature thing. Just that, we're just trying to help ourselves as well as you focus on how can we build on a good day.
Yeah.
One section says gratitude is a weapon. Thankfulness reminds you who the provider is. And if you have a hard time determining that, write down three things you're grateful for every day for a week. And at the end of the week, write down who you think orchestrated those things.
Yeah.
And after you've written the word God about 500 times on that list, you might get the picture that everything, every blessing comes from God.
Yeah.
And gratitude keeps our eyes on the giver, not just the gift.
Yeah.
Because the gift is fleeting. Mm-hmm. You know, I know people who just, my precious.
Yeah.
Right? That thing, whether it be a car or a pair of shoes or a house or whatever it is, you know. And it is fleeting. We're watching this series called Shrinking. And this guy was really just, he was really gotten hooked on helping people. And when he couldn't have a breakthrough with someone, it bothered him, you know. And the guy's like, you watch. He said, you're going to go chase down one of your patients, and you're going to give him some advice. You're going to have a little breakthrough, and you're going to smile. And that smile is going to fade about a minute after you smile because you realize that it's fleeting. It's like, no way. And of course, it shows that later on that while he's hugging that person, smiling, it fades before he even lets go of the hug.
Yeah.
And I think it's human nature to start to take things for granted. But sometimes we show up with that attitude. Like, I take everything for granted.
Yeah. What's the next thing I can get someone do for me, achieve, whatever.
Right. Yeah. Give while you have the margin to do so. When you're not drowning in a crisis, you've got room to help someone else.
Yeah. We talked about this in the previous one about, you know, if you have all your needs met, look externally.
Yeah.
Whether that is financial, like we mentioned here, or maybe it is emotional. Maybe you have the emotional capacity to help someone through something.
Sure.
Maybe it's the physical labor of like, oh, I can go cut that person's grass. Well, I have the capacity and they don't. There is always, always someone around you struggling while you are thriving.
Yes.
And it is our duty to bless them in our overflow while pointing them to God through that process.
Yes.
Because I think it's easy to be like, because I know some guys who love helping. They are the giver to the extent.
Ooh.
But if you were just giving out of yourself and not following that up with, you know, oh, thank you so much for giving me X thing. You know, oh, yeah, I thank the Lord that I was able to help you today. And if you're not pointing that back to God, that is a waste.
And if you are doing it just to be seen. You know, there's a person that she was very, very generous with money and that kind of thing, but always got recognition for that.
Yeah.
And I happened to make a statement in a group of people, and I said, do you think that this person would be as generous if no one knew she was doing it? And you'd have thought I grew a third eye on my forehead. They were like, what? I said, yeah, just an observation. I mean, we make lots to do about so-and-so giving more money, maybe because they have it to give, maybe. And then maybe not feeling the pain of giving it, and so that's why they can do so, maybe.
Yeah.
But if could they do it without the notoriety and fame of doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a concept that they just could not grasp. And so, it's important to keep that focus on the giver, and say so. Remember that it is temporary, just like those old wicked bad days. Good days, they don't last forever.
Yeah,
things change, but they do matter.
Yeah,
and how you approach them during that time also matters. So if things, days, situations are going to change for the good and bad, back and forth, all the time, I think it'd be beneficial for myself to be anchored and even-keeled as much as possible, grounded in Christ, so that, well, that boat just kind of bobs along with the waves, some big, some small, some calm, whatever. Because otherwise, I could see that it could be exhausting if you're so stressed out in a crisis or so unplugged from God in the good days that you're never in a right perspective.
Right. Well, I mean, the same way that the Lord uses bad days to prepare us, God uses the good days to prepare us, just in different ways.
Sure.
And I think if we view them that way, as these days are preparing me, whether they're good or bad or irrelevant, but God is always preparing me through this, I think it becomes a little bit easier to make sure that we are either glorifying Him or relying on Him in both those instances.
Yeah, definitely. So our focus verse is 1 Chronicles 29:12-13.
Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, O our God, and praise your glorious name.
Mm. It's good to see that in the Old Testament, right? Because there was a lot of death and judgment, and it feels like darker times in the Old Testament than New Testament. Knowing that Christ died in the New Testament for us, but so the question is, what part of your life is thriving right now, and how can you intentionally honor God in it? And that question makes you pause for 1 second of what part of your life is thriving. You could be going through something.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
We can't find a job, whatever.
Yeah.
Your marriage is rock solid.
Mm-hmm.
Your marriage is right where God wants it to be. Focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how you can honor God in that.
Yeah.
The chances of every aspect of our lives being great all at the same time, impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
There's just too many factors.
Too many variables.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the challenge this week is make a good day's plan. Choose one spiritual habit, one person to bless, and one act of generosity. Don't wait for the hard times to seek God. Honor Him while it is still easy.
Mm.
So, Joshua, hit him with it.
If you're going to be something, be uncommon.